Welcome back to Eco Talk. It is that time of week to check in with our friends at treehugger.com.
Welcome to Treehugger Radio. I'm Simran Sethi, bringing you the latest in environmental news and views from the leading eco site on the web, treehugger.com. Today we have an extended interview with Martha Marks, the president and co-founder of Republicans for Environmental Protection. The organization was founded by three women who believe that environmentalism is a bipartisan issue and that every state should be a green state. When you describe environmentalism to your fellow Republican colleagues and friends, how do you frame this in a way that really helps people to make that connection again and reinstate that relationship between Republicans and conservation of natural resources?
Well, it's interesting because most Republicans are conservative, and they don't have as much trouble with the word conservation as they have with the term environmental protection. I think that's because environmental protection has come to be seen as heavy-handed government regulation versus sort of heroic local efforts in regard to conservation. I don't make as much of a distinction personally between those two things, although I understand that there may be some. We have a wonderful slogan that we trademarked probably 7 or 8 years ago and use it all the time. We say that conservation is conservative. And I like to say when I give talks to people, I say there's nothing more conservative than conservation. Conservation is the most fundamentally conservative act that you can imagine. It's funny because I was saying that for years, and somebody pointed me in the direction of some of the great founders of the conservative movement, like Edmund Burke and Russell Kirk and Edmund Weaver. Russell Kirk himself said in 1970, during the height of the environmental movement, when good laws were being passed, he said that exact same thing. He said, nothing is more conservative than conservation.
In looking at that, I think one of the other things that we're seeing is a real expansion of the idea of environmentalism as a whole, as an issue of national security, public health, economic prosperity. How has that evolution and expansion of the idea of environmentalism helped fortify your organization?
Well, it's interesting because it definitely has. Right after the attacks of 9/11, we began urging energy conservation, and we were one of the very first organized efforts to do that. I mean, literally within a month of those attacks, we were out with an article calling for a new Marshall Plan, a new effort to wean America off of its dependence on foreign oil, foreign energy sources, which were obviously feeding and funding the terrorists that had just attacked us. And it seemed like at the time that was an argument that might take hold, but of course it did not, and it seems like we went in the opposite direction. So we're really pleased now to see the country as a whole coming back to what really is basic concept of self-sufficiency. The one thing that we have been very aggressive about, and I'm very proud to say we've helped stop, is the movement to drill in places like the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge and the Rocky Mountain Front in Montana. Those are false choices. They're bad choices. The idea that, well, the only way we can achieve energy independence is if we drill in our last remaining wild, pristine areas, that's just false. It's wrong. The way we ought to achieve energy independence is by increasing our miles per gallon, increasing our fuel efficiency, looking for strong, wonderful new technologies that can wean us off fossil fuels completely so that we're not just depending on more fossil fuels, but actually breaking our dependence on those. And, of course, as we know now, that would not only give us more energy security and probably cheaper fuels in the long run, but it would also start to reverse the effects of global warming. So we think the country is sort of slowly coming around to our point of view. We've been out there now for a long time, even before 9/11, but from that very first fall, making the same arguments that we're still making today, and we're real proud that other people are coming around to our point of view.
In reference to what you just said about the idea of increasing our mileage on cars, of course, the recent Supreme Court rulings in terms of regulating CO2 emissions and ruling in favor of the EPA enforcing utilities to install pollution control equipment on old coal-fired power plants has certainly been, you know, those are landmark decisions. What is your take on that, and specifically in regards to the fact that in the earlier ruling that the court's four conservative judges dissented?
I'm sorry to see that. I was sorry to see that. As Republicans for environmental protection, we would like to see the Republicans or the conservatives leading on these issues, and it's a big disappointment to see that they don't. It's hard to know what to say. I've said all, you know, for years that the terms liberal and conservative have gotten all convoluted and turned upside down. And I would ask those Supreme Court justices in many ways how they can justify what they did and what they say. I don't see when it became conservative to squander our resources and liberal to conserve them.
In regards to what you said about publicizing the issue of global warming, certainly on the state and local levels, we've seen a lot more responsiveness across party lines in terms of working towards reducing our carbon emissions and responding to this challenge. The federal government has been very slow to acknowledge climate change and to sort of act on it. But of course, the changes are occurring now. Do you think that a federal climate policy is required?
Yes, I do. I've never been one to shy away from federal policies. I look at the great laws of the 1970s, the Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act, Endangered Species Act, National Environmental Policy Act. They all worked. And the reason they worked is because they basically set a standard floor under all of the states. So everybody had to rise to a certain level. And then the states, of course, in many cases have done better. I firmly believe in that. And we're very proud of Governor Schwarzenegger, for example, and the work that he's done on energy and climate change. California can be is not a bellwether state. It could be an absolute leader on these things. And I think that Governor Schwarzenegger, in the long view of history, is going to be seen as a real champion, but a man who had the ability to do something and did it. And frankly, I think that history is going to judge President Bush rather harshly on that regard, because I don't believe he will do anything. And I think history will look back and say that those were probably 8 years wasted in the fight to control climate change.
For our extended interview with Martha Marks, as well as interviews from Cameron Sinclair, Paul Hawken, David Suzuki, Ed Begley Jr., and more, log on to treehugger.com or go to iTunes and subscribe to this podcast. And to sponsor this segment, email us at advertising@treehugger.com. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Simran, and I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, signing out and encouraging you to please take your planet a little more personally.